Dak Prescott, the poise that he has shown, the fourth round pick, has been what stood out to me. To his left. End zone. Touchdown, Butler. How about the kid, Dak Prescott?
Did we really have to open this show with Dak Prescott comment?
Yes, we did. And I like the small pause, the small silence there. It was beautiful. I was speechless, dude.
I was speechless.
Take it in, moment of silence. For Dak to the future.
Jesus Christ. The guy hasn't even won a playoff game yet. Oh, please.
Fact is, he got him there.
He got
him there in his rookie year.
Yeah, Elliott didn't help at all. No.
No, it wasn't Elliott. It was all Dak.
Oh, that's funny.
Honestly, though, we do have a lot to talk about today. We have a lot going on. For those of you
out there who
are listening, I do apologize for said quality. My new microphone is on its way in the mail, so it will be here. So the next show,
good place
we do,
for it.
Yeah, exactly. So the next show we do will be a lot more clear and a lot more crisp, and I'll be able to hear a lot better.
I don't think people really listen to you. Like, they're like, when you talk, they go, you know, so. Yeah,
you
I went
think
there.
So?
No, not really. I just feel like making fun
think
of you.
You think that's how it goes?
No. I just feel like making fun of you today. How's the neck, by the way?
Right.
Still fat?
Yeah.
All right.
Still, although I'm down, 12, 13 pounds, something like that?
Sure you are. Yeah.
No, I really am. I really needed to. I got on the scale... what was this, like April-ish?
Uh-huh.
270.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, this is the biggest I have ever been in my entire life. And, I need to stop. So, I'm down now to, like, 250. So, I lost, like, 20 pounds, bro.
You're, like, 200 pounds. Don't give me that crap.
I didn't say 200. I said, like, I'm 250 now. So.
I thought you said you lost 200 pounds.
No.
Oh,
no. I
please.
Lost like 20.
Yeah. Big deal.
No, if I lost 200 pounds, dude, I'd be 70
dead.
Pounds.
He's dead.
or 50. I'd be 50 pounds. I'd be. I don't think I'd like to see you. Anybody off, but.
Yeah, I don't want to see you as a rotund McSwiggin. I don't like it.
Rotund. Well, yeah. I don't know if I could ever be considered rotund. That's a
bit
harsh.
Fine.
Yeah.
You may
so
talk.
Would you consider yourself rotund?
I'm more robust, as I would say. Or as I like to know, pleasantly plump. So that's all I got.
Pleasantly plump. I like that.
Yes. Thank you. I came up with that myself. Jealous?
Did you?
Yes.
A little bit. I actually am a little
Good.
Bit jealous. But anyway,
about time.
So watching the wild world of sports that has happened the past couple of days, we have a lot to talk about. We've been off the air for quite some time.
Do we have enough time for this?
We may. And I'm just debating where we should start next. And, you know, I was giving it some thought last night, and I was sitting there talking to myself.
Sounds about right.
Well, that's what I do. I go in, and when I'm on the toilet, I sit here and do radio bits to myself. That's what I do.
That's lovely.
So,
I'm not hungry anymore.
And,
thanks.
Well, that actually would help you. That's a good thing. So,
funny.
Yeah, I'm a Samaritan. So what I would do is I was going to do those bits, and I was talking last night to myself about the Boston Celtics. And their direction moving forward. Because
what direction?
Here's the thing. Did I think Boston was going to beat Cleveland? No. I didn't. I thought they were going to take one, maybe two games.
Yes.
Possibly if they got super lucky, force a game seven. But
no chance.
I figured that was a long shot. But I figured they'd take one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they almost took two. They were up 16 in the fourth quarter, the other day. So they almost did. But the fact is that Boston needs a superstar. Boston.
They need more
than
that, dude.
Well, not necessarily, because look at Boston needs a – and I'm not saying these guys in particular, but I'm just saying they need – a Paul George, they need a Jimmy Butler,
yes.
They need, you know, a guy like that. They don't
Hayward.
Need a Markelle. They don't need a Markelle Fultz. They don't need a Lonzo Ball.
Oh,
you
please.
Know, they don't need any of those, because an 18-year-old kid is not going to beat LeBron James. An 18-year-old kid is not going to beat Kyrie Irving. An 18-year-old kid is not going to beat Kevin Love. Okay, you need another superstar, but here's my fear. Getting another big-time free agent superstar – well, not even free agent, a big-time superstar in there, I feel like you have to trade Isaiah Thomas. And then all of a sudden you're back at square one. Then you're back at square one. Well, how are they not? Because you're getting rid of one star to get another. You still need that other star.
They're not going to trade him unless they get overwhelmed with some great deal.
You'd be surprised because, I mean, Danny Ainge was trying to trade him, like, before the playoffs started. I mean, Danny Ainge has been trying to move him for a while.
Did you listen? Did you watch any of these games? Did you watch any of them?
I watched all of them, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something. The disparity in talent is mind-boggling to me, how much better Cleveland was than the Celtics. I mean – you're throwing out LeBron, you know, Kyrie, Kevin Love, hell, Deron Williams is playing okay off the bench. The Celtics just don't have that, dude. Dude, they're the worst number one seed of all time. I'll take that to my grave. The only reason
I don't know about the worst.
Oh, they were.
They have the lowest. I think they have one of the lowest winning records of.
Well, it's because Cleveland tanked the last couple of games. Yeah, but you don't understand. You can't listen. Thomas going out didn't help, but quite frankly, they weren't going to win with him in there anyway because he's the only one that could score the damn ball. But Al Horford and Jay Crowder, okay, and Marcus Smart aren't going to win you games against Cleveland, man. The talent level is unbelievable. Christ, they lost the game 130-86, all right? They were down 50 points in that game, and I was flabbergasted. But this is supposed to be the number one seed. Okay, granted, Thomas got hurt, but they were down 44 points in the third quarter. What does that say to me? It says the talent level is mind-bogglingly lacking. And I agree with you. Drafting Markelle Fultz is not going to put them over the top to beat Cleveland. He's barely out of college, barely out of high school for a year. Is he going to be the point guard? Like, what do you do with Thomas?
Well, he was also on a Washington team that was 9-20
they won nine games
last year.
They're terrible.
Yeah, so
it wasn't his fault.
No, of course, but they were also in the weak Pac-12 too.
Yes.
So I mean they had Oregon and UCLA. That was about it in that division. I mean, yeah,
Arizona,
okay, but you know,
USC was pretty good.
But USC, okay, but what I say. The difference between that and the ACC, you know what I'm saying?
No.
So, I don't see them needing it. If I were Boston,
no.
I was putting together a scenario in my head last night, and what that was they have obviously the number one pick. Okay. They also have the Nets pick, I believe, next year.
Next year.
The last,
yes.
That's the last one. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is most likely going to be a top 3 or 4 pick because the
Definitely.
Nets are just a chain wreck. So why don't you bundle those two together? Okay. And you say, okay, you can have the number one pick this year. You can have a top 3 pick next year. And we'll give you, Smart or somebody.
Yes.
I don't know. Pick some,
Smart or
pick
Bradley would have to
bench.
Go in any deal if Thomas
pick
isn't
some,
in
pick
it.
Somebody on your bench, right? Go get Jimmy Butler. Because the Bulls have been wanting to trade Jimmy Butler for quite some time. Well, they haven't been let me rephrase that. They haven't been wanting to trade him, but they have been open to listening to offers. Okay. And the Chicago Bulls are in the middle of a youth movement. Now, don't get me wrong, you might say, well, how are they in the middle of a youth movement with Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo on the roster? But no,
right.
they really are, because you look at you know who I would put in that deal? Amir Johnson.
Nobody's going to take him. Nobody's going to take him.
But
unless
you know,
he has an expiring contract.
Well, true. But you're looking at these guys, Denzel Valentine, Robin Lopez, Christian Felicio, Michael Carter Williams, Jeremiah Grant, Bobby Portis, Cameron Payne, Isaiah Cannon. These are all young guys, on that team. And Boston – or not Boston, excuse me, Chicago is building towards the future. They want to have a young team that's going to compete in 3, 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah,
whereas
Chris,
Boston
I get that.
Boston's in the win-now mentality.
Yeah, but listen, what is the future? I'm sorry, look, Danny Ainge has made, he stole these picks from Brooklyn, but realistically, what has he really done to improve this team? He got Isaiah Thomas off, in a bad trade from Phoenix, but other than that, signing Al Horford, okay, but Al Horford wasn't exactly in his prime, and he's not the superstar that they need. They finally brought the free agent here. But what the hell has he done? He brought in Amir Johnson. Are you kidding me? I think the problem is that we as fans overvalue these draft picks. Because I'm sorry, if it's not like a top 3 franchise player pick, it's useless. It's useless. And Ainge keeps dangling.
I don't know about
it
that.
Is. Oh, come on. And, as far as I'm concerned, you think Jimmy Butler getting him is going to put the Celtics over the top if you trade Isaiah Thomas? How the hell is that going
to
work?
No. If you trade Isaiah, no. You're able to keep Isaiah somehow and bunch together those two picks, because, again, the Celtics, put it this way. LeBron,
they need scoring.
Okay?
They need a scorer. Okay.
Yes, but LeBron is probably going to play another 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7 years. Okay.
LeBron
think
he's
going to
play that many. Come on.
He's an animal. But LeBron James is going to play for the foreseeable future. Okay.
Yes.
Boston cannot sit back and wait for LeBron James to retire to say, okay, what, now's our chance.
No, they're
because
not going
to
do
time,
that.
Because by that time, they're going to be old and they're not going to have the same team. Boston has to find a way to beat LeBron and count on LeBron. And you know what? They did it in the regular season. Now, I understand that a series is different and it's not one game, but they beat him in the regular season. They had a better record than them in the regular season. Now they've just got to find
misleading.
A way to take.
Well, Chris, that's
exactly.
misleading.
But
right.
they just need to find a way to take 4 games from them now.
Well, yeah,
okay,
but that's the problem. You understand here. Look, LeBron James is LeBron James. Okay, the Celtics, those are superstars that you never get every once in like 30 years. They have nobody close to that. They're not going to have anybody close to that because these guys don't come around like that. They can maybe find somebody like an Irving or a Love in a draft, but, other than that, forget it. You can't get a franchise guy like this unless you get lucky. It's all luck.
LeBron better than Jordan?
Unless he gets 6 rings, I don't think so. I'm sorry. I think
you
truthfully.
You really don't.
No, I don't. See, I watched Jordan play my whole life. Truthfully, I don't really care for Michael Jordan. I'm not really a big NBA fan as I used to be. But the guy for years until they got him a Pippen or a Horace Grant. You know, the guy was a one-man team. I mean, I can still remember as a little kid watching. I remember as a little kid still watching him duel with Larry Bird in the 86 playoffs when he scored like 60 points by himself. That was insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still lost a series, but you could see where he was going. I mean, I don't know if anybody thought then he was the greatest player of all time. I thought he was pretty damn good. But, you know, until he got over the hump, like here's what it's like LeBron. Okay, he had to beat like the Celtics or Detroit. Detroit was his nemesis. The Celtics were kind of dead and buried by then. He couldn't beat the Pistons. The Pistons were like the nemesis, the Bulls. They, you know, and he finally, like, eventually.
Bad boy, right? Bad boy Pistons.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. You know, the Pistons won back-to-back titles, and they beat Chicago, I believe, maybe twice to get to the finals. And then they finally beat the Pistons in 91. It was like getting the monkey off his back. And after that, like, it was it. Like, I mean, he had Pippen in there then, Horace Grant, Cartwright, you know, complimentary players that LeBron has. You know, and it's kind of like LeBron. LeBron needed to beat, like, Boston in a couple rounds, you know, teams that the Spurs, you know, stuff like that to get the monkey off his back. You know, once he won the first title, it was fine. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to win six. I mean, he could.
He's been, this will be his seventth straight finals.
Seventh straight. That's insane, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think Jordan could have done that. I mean, I quite frankly think that Jordan played tougher competition, if you ask me. I'm sorry. I thought.
I don't know. Look at the teams that LeBron has had to face in these finals, though. I mean, that Spurs team.
I agree with you in the finals.
Was ridiculous.
No, I'm talking about an Eastern Conference to get to the finals. Last year, for Christ's sake, Toronto was a two seed.
But the Eastern Conference doesn't win you championships. The championship game does. Beating
you
the
have
Western
to,
Conference does.
Yeah, you have to beat those teams to get to the finals.
Then you can lose in the finals.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, but Jordan had to beat the Knicks, who were pretty good then, even with the Ewing and Starks and people like that. And they had to beat Detroit, which pretty mean Cleveland was okay then. And they were better teams, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're getting
the
finals,
like
fine.
Like the Jazz that they beat, that Jazz team, they never won a title. They weren't good. Well, I mean, they were good, but they weren't as good as this Warriors team or this Spurs team.
Wait a minute. They had two of, like, the top 50 players of all time on that team. Don't tell me they weren't good.
Yeah, they never won a title.
Yeah, because of Jordan. If Jordan wasn't around, they would have won one of those, I think.
Okay, but they went to it once. Are you telling me that team is on par with the Spurs of today or the Golden State of today or even the Rockets of today?
The Jazz went twice back then. The Bulls beat them twice back-to-back years. Yeah. I think they were – I would take that team over half the teams I've seen now. I mean, you had Hornacek on there. You had Brian Russell.
The new Knicks coach, by the way.
Yeah. No, please. Yeah. That's another story. No, I just think it was
New York Knicks.
Listen, I just think LeBron has it's not his fault, which I understand. I just think he has an easier path to the finals where you were already talking about in October, it's a foregone conclusion that Cleveland's going to the finals. What does that say? I think that says a lot, don't you?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a foregone conclusion though, because
I would.
I think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to make the playoffs, and then it's a foregone conclusion that they're probably going to be the one or the two seed. But I don't necessarily think, you know, you have to say, oh well, you know, they're in the finals, because look at what happened in, I believe it was game three when LeBron just disappeared. Okay, this team proved they can't win without LeBron, and you've got, you know, arguably the best point guard in the league. Now, I'll tell you something that you might think is asinine here in a minute, but you've got arguably the best point guard in the league in Kyrie Irving. You've got Kevin Love. You've got Tristan Thompson. You've got J.R. Smith. I mean, you've got solid group of guys, okay? And they can't win a game without LeBron against a team without their best player.
I don't believe that. Wait a minute.
And their best player is 5'2", okay? So
you got that right.
That's the thing. So – this team if LeBron, let's say, gets hurt, which he never does, or, you know, gets sick or whatever it may be, let's just say something happens to LeBron, okay, mentally, physically, whatever it may be. It's not a foregone conclusion. This team can't win without him.
I disagree. Listen, did you watch Game 7 in the finals last year? That wasn't all LeBron. You know, Kyrie Irving.
No, he was on the floor. He contributed.
Yeah,
and quite frankly,
yeah, but he
LeBron
won that damn game. Please, it wasn't all LeBron.
Well, he hit the big three, yes. But if LeBron didn't have a block from damn near half court, that's an Iguodala layup and they lose. Okay, so
no,
I mean,
well, yeah.
That's the difference. So LeBron technically won that title.
If Cleveland played the Celtics without LeBron, I still would have picked Cleveland, man. I'm just sorry. I think Irving and Love are if you're looking at starting lineups of these starting lineups, Love and Irving are the two best. You know, say LeBron's not in there, Love and Irving are better than anybody on Boston. I'm sorry. I like Isaiah Thomas, but he doesn't play defense. He can score all he wants, and well, he can't because he's 3 feet tall. But after that, I mean, the drop-off is insane. It's insane. Do you understand that? I mean, the talent level
I get it.
Is mind-boggling to me. Do you understand that? Like, you know, you have three superstars. Well, all right, maybe Kevin Love is not a superstar. I think Kyrie Irving
He's
is.
He's up there.
Yeah. But I'm like, if you look at the Celtics roster, seriously, what the hell do they have? You have Isaiah Thomas, who's a small guy. Granted, he's come along. I'm happy for him. You have – who's our second best player realistically? Is it Bradley? Al Horford? Do you understand? Don't you feel the drop-off there? Like, Bradley's too inconsistent yet for me to become number two guy.
Horford plays no defense.
Right. Well, he plays a little bit. But he's not a 20-10 guy. So it's like
no,
after that –
Bradley's a lockdown defender.
Yes. If he
Bradley
scores
got,
13
Bradley
and 14 –
lucky.
Yeah.
Well,
but I'm like, when you see the drop off,
shot,
though,
but,
you know, Jay Crowder's not going to scare anybody, right?
Oh,
I mean,
my
Jesus.
God. Yo, did you see Jay Crowder get juked into next week by Kyrie in that game? Dude,
yeah.
he had his
Dude, I watched
ankle
every minute.
Oh, my God. Wow. Like, I saw that. And I was like, Jay, just go. Just go sit
well, you know,
just
I had a problem, too. It's like,
okay, it's over.
Right. My another thing I have to do is like, I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Marcus Smart. Like, this guy's driving me crazy. Like, I feel like this guy can be a 25-point scorer, and the next night he's 1-for-9. I mean, he plays stellar defense.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I know. He drives – and it's like, I know they took Jaylen Brown, but I just don't know. I mean, I know he's only a rookie, but he just doesn't look right. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, he's good in sports.
Yeah, it's definitely – I can see why it would be frustrating, for
right.
sure.
So I'm like, you know, these draft picks, like, you know, if they didn't get if they didn't get the top two last year, I figured they were, you know, it was a crapshoot because that's one of the worst drafts ever. And I just don't know what – you know, it's like, do they have the tradable pieces? Would somebody like – you know, if you're going to trade him to, like, you know, Indiana for Paul George, I don't think he'd come there anyway because I think he wanted to play for the Lakers.
No.
But what are you going to – you have to give a Brown, Smart, and both picks just to get on the table to talk to George? Would Indiana even do that trade? Like, that's what I'm saying, right? Would you make that trade? I would take it if I was a Celtics.
No.
I love Paul George.
Probably not.
And,
everybody says
I'm sorry. Everybody says they're going to try to sign Gordon Hayward. But what kind of money do they really have? Because he went to Butler and he played with Brad Stevens. But if I was Hayward,
there's
I wouldn't leave
no
Utah
way
right
Utah's
now.
Letting him go.
No.
No.
And what is Celtics
going to
give him? $25 million a year after they signed Horford? They even have that kind of money?
Well, yeah, they have the money.
Well,
but
I mean, I don't think they have the. And be honest with you, I'm not sure if Hayward would be a good fit here. You know, there's a big difference between playing in Salt Lake City where nobody knows who the hell you are and coming to a Facebook town or whatever, Twitter town like Boston. It's a big difference, man. I'm not sure if that kid can handle it. Do you?
No. And you know, I know that, like, you know, Boston is one of those cities that they call a quote-unquote free agents, you know, destination,
right.
Whereas some place like Indiana is not, or Utah is not. You know, so that's the thing. Utah is not a free agent destination, so they got to keep the players that they have. And you know, if Gordon Hayward, you know, is going to stay, they've got to keep him no matter what.
Oh,
so,
I think they would sign Gobert before him. He's really been pretty good.
Yeah, they could.
I don't think he's a franchise player, but
how about I don't think of his name here. What's that guy? Gerald Green, Miami.
Gerald Green.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but Chris, the whole point of this thing is like, I don't think anybody realized, this is just my opinion, so I want you to let me know what you think. The Celtics are so far behind, it's mind-boggling to me, talent-wise. I wrote a Facebook rant about this. You know, they are not going to beat this team in the next 2 or 3 years unless they get players. If they need, you know what, to be honest with you, they need Hayward and Butler just to be able to be on the floor against this team. That's what, and I don't know how the hell they're going to do that, you know. And I agree with you. They have to trade this pick, but they have to get it for a superstar that's going to score. This team needs a scorer. Okay, I'm
trade
not sure Butler. What?
Trade this year's and next year's.
Yes, I agree. I like it. I mean, I think they're going to take Fultz, but I'm like, if you realize that, you really think that Fultz is going to put them over the top? Absolutely not. It's ridiculous. I don't know why, but I think that's going to be great. Like, you know, this is supposed to be one of the best drafts ever, but the Celtics have so many freaking needs. It's like they need a scorer, and I'm not sure if Fultz is the best scorer in there, but I don't know. I feel like they have too many guards anyway. They need some front court players, but this draft is okay for that. But I would trade this pick at least to even just to get on the table to talk to Paul George or Hayward, somebody like that. But I don't know.
So let me ask you. Okay. And then,
yes.
And then we'll jump into some NFL here, some MLB. But let me ask you, I had somebody the other day tell me, honestly, with a straight face, tell me that Kyrie Irving is better than Steph Curry. Now, is that an asinine statement, or does he might have a point?
Well, I don't. What characterizes him as better? Like, a scorer?
This guy was in a bar that I was having a bar debate with, but it was one of my buddies, so, you know, we talk about sports all the time, but...
Okay.
His logic was, all Steph Curry does is shoot threes.
Good point.
And I told him, yes, but I told him no.
No,
Steph
he doesn't.
Steph Curry's a lockdown defender.
Yes, he is.
He
his range
to the rim.
Is impeccable, man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a scary
he's like
part.
He's like a video game character when you see him drive to the lane.
Absolutely
crazy,
right.
Euro step moves and stuff.
Yeah.
So. Is he the prototypical point guard that Kyrie Irving is? No.
No. No.
Okay, but Kyrie Irving's a better pass. Well, Steph Curry's a pretty good passer too, but Kyrie Irving, I think, is, I would say, the more polished all around player. Steph Curry is the more splash player, the better wow factor player. Kyrie
I agree.
Irving is going to have. You know, he's going to have his games every once in a while that you're going to be like, wow, geez. You know, like the game when LeBron disappeared, he stepped up and had 40 or whatever it was.
Yes.
He's going to have those games.
Right.
Steph Curry is going to do pretty much one, maybe two things or more every single game that you're just going to go, oh, my God. Like, did he just do that? You know?
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Like,
yes.
I'm mesmerized by Sean Curry. I'm impressed with Kyrie Irving. I'm mesmerized by Steph Curry. I guess that's
I agree.
Difference.
Oh, there's a big difference. I agree. To answer your question, I don't think that he is better. I think that's an unfair comparison because I think they're both very good. And I hate this nowadays where we have to compare players to each other. Who cares? They're all different and they're outright. They're all different players. They all bring specific skills to the table. So why can't we just cherish it? Why the hell do we have to compare it? Ugh.
Yeah, it's tough. It is for sure. But
I have
anyway.
A question for you, by the way.
Oh Jesus!
I see on the opening banter here that you don't want Lonzo Ball, and I'd love to hear why.
Because
I agree with you.
Okay, I'm going to try to do this without sounding terrible or without having, you know, picket signs outside of my house.
I agree with you, by the way. So
okay, but for sounding racist here, I'm not worried about that. Well, yeah, but other people might be. That's not the point. It's just the point is I'm trying to carefully word how I'm going to say this. So let me just say, it's not that I don't want Lonzo Ball. Do I think Lonzo will help the Celtics? Yes, I do. I think, especially if they end up getting rid of Isaiah or one of their guys, I definitely think Lonzo, from a ball playing standpoint, can step in, help the team. They probably wouldn't miss a beat. He's bigger than Isaiah Thomas is.
He's more physical than
Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, he's the point guard that they need. 6'6",
yes.
You know, good size. You know, he could score. He plays. Yeah, he doesn't really play great defense, but neither does Isaiah. But he, you know, he can do things that you would want your point guard to do, and doesn't get trapped as easily as Isaiah Thomas gets trapped.
And he's huge. Like he is a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Yes. So he kind of reminds me of Kobe in a way. Kobe was what, like a 6'7" guard or something. So anyway,
yeah.
So that's that. But as much as I would like to have Lonzo, I do not want LaVar Ball.
I know.
And the reason I do not
he ain't
want
going
LaVar
away,
Ball,
by the way.
Oh no, of course he's not. But let him be around on another team. And the reason I don't want LaVar Ball, first of all, did you see what he did to Kristen Leahy on the Colin Cowherd show?
Oh, I thought it was one of the most classless things I've ever seen. This guy just doesn't get it.
I mean, because I listen to Colin Cowherd. In fact, well, I'm not listening to him today because we're on the air during his show right now. But I'm gonna be, you know, I listen to Colin every day for the most part.
I heard the whole thing. I thought it was disgusting.
Yeah. So there's that. But then he comes out and he's got shoes, basketball sneakers that are $495.
Who in the hell can afford that?
Well, they're above Nike. They're above.
Big deal.
You know, all the other things. And you know, I'm like, who the hell's making them? If they're above Nike, they're above Reebok, they're above Adidas. Who's going to make the damn things?
Yes.
Okay? And then.
How about the sandals that cost like $200? Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh,
and they're not geared towards women. But first of all, okay, so who plays basketball? Who buys your shoes? Who bought a lot of Jordan shoes coming up? Are you telling me that they were the little elementary school white kids who wanted to look cool? No.
No.
They were the I don't want to say ghetto, it's a negative connotation, but they were the inner city basketball, urban, they were the urban community.
Yes.
Okay. That got it going, and that's who you have to market and target. Okay? If you have shoes that, you know, that freaking Donald Trump could barely afford, what are you gonna, you know, who's gonna buy them? And then
I'll tell you something. Do you realize he's wasting
how many of you sold?
Right, he's wasting an untapped market with girls. You know how many girls play basketball now? It's huge.
Oh yeah.
So he's wasting a market there. He's stupid.
And you know how when she asked how many of you sold, and he just was like, "Stay in your lane."
Yeah,
you know,
stay in your lane.
And then,
give me a
stay
break.
In your lane, hater.
Yeah.
So then he goes, "This is not marketed towards women," you know, and he said it very
stupid.
Like that. And then he threatened her at the end. Oh, you'll get what's coming to you, you know.
Yeah.
So
I heard it.
But then he goes on first. Well, this was before the Colin Cowherd thing. He goes on First Take.
Oh
and
Jesus!
He says he said you could beat Jordan. Okay. He says I'm undefeated, never lost. At what?
Stephen A. Smith went nuts on him.
you average 2 points a game at Eastern Washington.
Right.
Okay. Michael Jordan is probably arguably the best player ever.
Yeah.
Because Jordan can't cover him one-on-one because he's too small, whatever it may be. Okay. So this guy, the reason why, and I'm not going to get into all the different things because we'll be here till the show ends talking about all that. The reason I don't want LaVar Ball is because he becomes a distraction.
Absolutely.
Boston is a city
full
that
of distractions.
But also it's a city that's big media presence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a rich in tradition, rich in history team.
Yep.
And you get a guy who makes it all about him and all about his son.
They'll crucify him.
You've got not necessarily that. You've got a team here that's on the cusp of being in the Eastern Conference Finals every single year here for the next couple of years. Okay, you've got a team who you're building for the future under a young coach, Brad Stevens, who is only trending upward.
Yes.
And you're going to have a guy who's going to come in and it's just going to be about him and his son. Forget the rest of the team. This is big baller Brad. We're going to make him in green. Okay, and that's it.
Yeah, but can you believe – did you see the arrogance how he won't work out for the Celtics? They only work out for the Lakers. Are you kidding me? Do you realize how bad that looks?
The reason he doesn't want to – well, he just said he also was considering working out for the 76ers as
well.
Well,
they won't
the reason why, and he said
the Celtics have too many guards and he think it won't fit there. So he wants to play for the Lakers.
Okay, sure, but they could always move something around.
Yes.
But here's why I know that he's going to be at the Lakers, okay? LA is the entertainment capital of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, he's already in LA.
Right.
Okay. So it wouldn't be that long of a drive. He probably could just live in the same apartment he's in now. Okay? And he wouldn't have to travel. Two, he'd have to get used to a new city. And also, LA is the perfect theater spot.
Oh, I agree.
If him and his father, I shouldn't say him and his father. Lonzo has actually been quiet about the whole thing, and he's actually been pretty humble. But if the Balls are going to do the theatrics that everyone's expecting to have happen, L.A. is the place to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just think L.A. is a long way away from being a contender in the West.
No, you're right. They won 26
games a long way away from,
this year. You know.
Yeah, they need
What is he going to add? 4 more wins? Like, really?
Okay, well, Lonzo's a good piece. He's a good piece to build around.
Well, him
but,
and Ingram
you know,
would be
gonna,
pretty good.
True, but think about the connections. Okay, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson. Okay,
yep.
Robert Horry. The James Worthy. Think about the guys that Lonzo could quote unquote work out with.
Yeah.
Okay, think about the guys that LaVar could come in contact with. Oh, big baller brand is endorsed by so and so. Even if it's not, he could say that it is. Okay.
Right.
And he'll have the media spotlight. There's three cities in this country.
Got celebrities
that have
sitting
biggest,
on the sidelines that'll help.
Oh, exactly. You've got the three biggest media cities in this country, New York, Boston, L.A., okay?
Yep.
And he's got to go to one of those if he wants to get his message out there.
Oh, yeah.
The Knicks,
I think L.A. is better market-wise than Boston.
I think so, too. It's definitely better. And you know, tell me this, okay? The Knicks – Speaking of the Knicks, we'll get back to the Lakers in a second, but speaking of the Knicks, how much of a dumpster fire the Knicks have been? They got screwed again. What are they, pick 7 or pick 8 in the lottery?
Yeah.
I mean, they just keep getting screwed by this lottery, man. They are the unluckiest franchise I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, but that's karma, by the way, because I remember when I was a little kid – when they first started the draft, I don't care what anybody says, they rigged the draft so the Knicks would get Patrick Ewing. So justice, it's justice. So they can have it.
You think so? You really think
please. Don't. I read articles about that.
Are you going on record
that.
Right now? Are you going on record right
yes.
now to say that the draft was rigged to get Ewing?
Yes, for the Knicks.
You realize
oh,
this
absolutely.
Is all recorded.
I don't
okay.
care.
All right.
You can
all
sue
right.
me, please. I don't care.
Yeah.
Please. And they didn't
right.
win anything anyway.
No, they really didn't. But
no.
Okay. All right, fair enough, fair enough. But anyway, yeah, so getting back to the Lakers here for a second, because we do got to jump into some other sports. They just, I don't get it. I just don't get why Lonzo or why LaVar Ball would go anywhere besides L.A. I really don't.
He won't.
And
he won't. Listen,
the Celtics aren't going to take him.
Okay,
let's be honest.
Magic
Johnson loves this guy.
No, I know. And they don't care about the distractions of the old man. They're not getting the old man on the court. They're getting the kid. Okay. Well, my question is, when the Lakers are still pretty damn far away from being contenders. Okay. You know,
oh, hell yeah.
They won 26 games this year. Okay. If they add Ball to that team, what do you have now? You have Ingram and Christ. Yeah. And that's it, dude. So what is that going to make them from 26
well,
wins?
You've got Ingram, who in my opinion is very average. Then you've got who's that? Swaggy P, Nick Young,
Millionaire, and they had they signed all these clowns that can't play.
Timothy Mozgov. Did you see the contract Mozgov got?
Oh please!
My God! I mean the dude can't get rebounds. That's about it.
Luol Deng got that huge deal too. Ugh.
This team is
5 or 6 years, Chris, from being contender, dude.
Putting Ball in there is
not going to help that much, man. I mean, they might put asses in the seats, but if you can't win a game, what the hell's the point?
Now, he says here that Danny Ainge comes out today and he says that Ball, quote-unquote, politely declined a pre-draft workout.
Oh, please. Politely declined. Oh, please.
Yeah, he did.
Don't tell me you're buying that for a second.
Well, Lonzo may have. LaVar may not have been so polite about it. For those of you who may not know the NFL, I'm already in our next topic mode. Anybody who may not know the NBA draft order, it is as follows. I'll give you the top 10. Boston gets the first pick from Brooklyn. So it goes Boston, L.A. Lakers, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Sacramento, Orlando, Minnesota, New York, Dallas, Sacramento. So that is the top 10.
Yep.
And, you know, all the way down here at the bottom, you know, Utah's got the 30th pick, San Antonio. The Lakers actually have two picks in the first round. I'm going to be interested to see what they do with those.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny, though, because Brooklyn got their way back into the first round at pick 22 from Washington.
Yeah. Who cares?
But Brooklyn is, I mean.
Yeah,
but
I'll tell you, Chris, this is a pretty deep draft. I mean, a lot of it's potential, if you ask me, but like,
this is one of the deeper drafts we've had. Yeah.
But the problem I have with that is like some of these kids barely played 30 games in college, and all these Duke kids like Giles and Tatum have barely played. I mean, I know like Monk from Kentucky, he'll be a top 5 pick. You know, and you got a bunch of foreign kids who I never hear, but this is pretty deep. So, I mean, the Nets could get somebody 22, but it's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to put them over the top, but.
Well, yes, true. There's a lot of these European guys, too, though. And I mean, I think I know what's going to happen. Phil Jackson's probably going to grab one of these European guys and
please
promise us he's the next Porzingis.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll tell you something. I'm not sure how much longer Porzingis is going to be in there. I mean, he didn't even go to the after-season get-together. He walked right out. It was funny.
I did see that.
Would you? I wouldn't. Right.
Maybe. I might. Who knows? Depending on my mood or intoxication level. So, anyway, jumping into the NFL here.
All right.
And I had the NFL theme music here, but I don't. So I'll just hit this.
Touchdown, Raiders. Who cares?
Which is one of my favorite clips, by the way. It's just such an awesome, just, you know, he sounds so excited. He sounds so genuinely excited. I also have this.
It's been 99 passes in the NFL without an interception for Dak Prescott. The poise that he has shown, the fourth round pick, has been what stood out to me.
Well, that, and you look at the completion percentage, he's been, you know, very poised within the pocket.
action. Underneath, it's the fullback Smith. A good start to this drive.
How long is this damn clip?
End zone. Coming back for it. Williams. Touchdown.
Oh, it's like 10 minutes. I'm just playing a little bit.
Please.
It's all like Dak Prescott highlights. It's all Prescott highlights.
I think
we should talk about some other divisions, because I think it's pretty common knowledge that Dallas Cowboys are winning the East again. So I think we should talk about.
Excuse me. You're gonna pull that crap.
I think we should talk like, you know, AFC West or something, you know, because the Cowboys have that division under wraps. So let's talk about, you know, one of the other divisions.
Yeah. Oh, please. Boy, I tell
you. You don't agree?
No, I don't. It must be nice living on Fantasy Island, dude. I'm telling you. Did you see what the Giants did in this offseason to upgrade the offense? Are you kidding me?
Okay, they have no offensive line. They can't protect Eli.
The line will be fine. He had no offensive weapons last year. Now, they don't have a running game.
No offensive weapons.
But
he had Beckham and Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz. We had no offensive weapons.
Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, can you name me one?
Now he's got Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and Brandon Marshall, plus this big Ingram kid that they drafted, who's a monster in the red zone.
All right, listen, you little prick.
They got weapons.
Okay, listen.
They got weapons.
And yet, wait a minute. The NFL has seen Elliott play now and Prescott. They're all going to adapt to them now. It's going to be a whole different ball game next year for these two. So don't get too excited yet. Oh, please.
Well, am I expecting a bit of a regression from Dak? Yes. I think Dak was you know, he played outerworldly last season.
They're not winning 13 games, I'll tell you right now. They made 10 or 11.
Their schedule is much tougher.
It is.
But they, you know, if you look at the last season schedule as compared to this one, I mean, Dallas really, to be absolutely honest with you, had a kid schedule last year.
Yes.
They had a kid schedule last year. But, you know, that being said, any NFL schedule is difficult.
Giants schedule worse. Holy Christ.
Well, here, I'm gonna compare both schedules here. Have you
I looked at it.
Have you taken a look at the Cowboys schedule yet?
No, I haven't, because I have a life.
Right, I'll tell it to you in a minute. But
can't wait.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Mr.
I went there.
Mr. Big Guy. No, let me see here. Titillating. Okay.
I like when the NFL comes out with the schedules, but Jesus, they're brutal, man.
Well, yes. The Patriots have another cakewalk again. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, did you see that?
But
did you see their schedule? Oh, please.
The Patriots' schedule is sickeningly easy.
Ugh.
Like disgustingly easy. But anyway, I mean, think about it. Put it this way. The Bills got better. The Jets are a long way to go. The Dolphins were a playoff team, and the Bills got better. Okay, I think that's the best way to phrase it. The Dolphins were a playoff team last year. The Bills got better. And that division is going to be wrapped up in September. Okay,
it's already wrapped up now. Forget it.
So that's how disgustingly easy that schedule is for them. But anyway, so looking at the Dallas Cowboys schedule here, as you know, week one in Dallas, Sunday Night Football against the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting game, to say the least. Week two at Denver.
Jesus.
Week three, at Arizona on Monday night. Week four, Los Angeles Rams.
Oh,
week
please.
Week five, Green Bay Packers in Dallas, the revenge game. Okay. Then they got a bye week. Then they got a layup at San Francisco, at Washington, Kansas City, Atlanta. So they go at San Francisco, at Washington, Kansas City, at Atlanta, then home against Philly, then the L.A. Chargers, then Washington, then at the New York Giants, at Oakland, then Seattle, and then they end the season off at Philadelphia. So it's a pretty relatively difficult schedule. The interesting thing, the terrible thing for me, the thing that really annoys me and irritates me, is the Thanksgiving game. I watched the Thanksgiving game. How great was the Thanksgiving game last year, having it be Cowboys Redskins? I mean, how fitting was that?
Yes.
From a historical metaphor, from a hilarious fun standpoint, how funny was that?
It was great.
And now on Thanksgiving, the Dallas Cowboys are playing the Chargers. Who cares?
The Giants are actually playing on Thanksgiving this year.
Redskins.
That's weird.
They're playing the Redskins. Yeah. And they got the night game. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
your schedule. Your schedule might be harder than I thought it was, because the Giants' first four games are pretty much on frickin' road. And we go to Dallas, they play Detroit at home, and then at Philadelphia and at Tampa Bay. You know, those aren't cakewalks. This team could be 1-3 going into week 5. Christ.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, it doesn't get any better. I mean, they play the Chargers, and they play at Denver and Seattle. So it's like, Jesus.
Yeah,
four games are brutal. I mean, they still got to play Arizona, Washington, Dallas.
Oof.
They play at Oakland, you know.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, again, New York Giants at home, at Denver, at Arizona, L.A., Green Bay, at San Fran, at Washington, Kansas City, at Atlanta, Philly, Chargers, Washington, at Giants, at Oakland, Seattle, and at Philly. So three of their last four games in December, at the Giants, December 10th, At Oakland, December 17th, home against Seattle on Christmas Eve, and then at Philly on New Year's Eve. So it's gonna be interesting.
I went objectively through the Giants schedule, and this is not a BS thing. And I thought
realistically,
I thought they win 9 games. Okay.
Okay.
I'm being honest. Like I'm not sure if they're going to win in Dallas. They got lucky last year, but I think I'm going to chalk that one up as a loss for now. But I think they'll beat Detroit. You know, I think they'll beat the Chargers. I don't know. They never play well against Seattle, even though it's a home game this year. But Seattle still not that great. But they never win in Denver, so I figured that was a loss. I mean, they play at Oakland. I'm not sure what Oakland team is going
to
be there.
Not very many people do win in Denver, though, to be fair.
I'd be honest with you, I think I was a little kid the last time they won in Denver, like 89, it seems like. I can't remember the last time they won there. I mean, other than that, I mean, you play, you know, at San Francisco, I think they win that game. They play both L.A. teams. I think they win both of those.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they win at Tampa Bay. I'm not sure about that. I mean,
Tampa Bay improved.
Definitely. They usually split with Philadelphia and Washington, so I figured those were two losses there. They played the Chiefs in November, but that's a home game. They usually play better at home on the road. I think they would win that game.
Yeah.
So I thought 9-7, realistically. So that's where my team.
Put it this way. I think the division comes down at the end of the year. Yes, the Eagles got better, but I don't think they're quite there yet.
No.
Yes, the Redskins got exponentially better. I still don't think they're quite there yet. I think
no.
the division comes down to Cowboys Giants at the end of the year. And
yep.
I think same thing as last year. One wins the division, one makes the wild card. That's really
how I feel
about this division.
I agree with 100%.
And I mean, who knows? Washington could come out of nowhere and win it, or Philly could come out of nowhere and win it.
Right.
But I don't see it right now with the talent that the Giants and Cowboys already had, then improving upon that to get even better. I just think that they're too far and above the other two teams.
I agree. And let's be honest, Washington was seriously a playoff team last year, and they didn't show up in that last game against the Giants, who weren't even trying, by the way, if you hadn't noticed that game. And Washington just laid a goose egg, and that was sad to watch because they were a playoff team. It was sad. I mean, Philadelphia is getting better, but
they just decided not to play defense on a Hail Mary. I don't know what that was about.
Oh, that's true. Oh my God, unbelievable!
I don't know what that was about. But then you guys warmed them up because they came into us the next week and they were red hot.
Oh,
so, yeah.
I know.
Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Because, I mean, obviously, in the first half of the game against you, in the first half, the Packers did nothing. And then in the second half, you know, Aaron Rodgers started to come alive a little bit. Against us, they scored 28 points in the first quarter and a half. So luckily, Dak did a good job of bringing him back and eventually tied the game before Aaron Rodgers decided to be, you know, video game status again.
Oh,
but
I know.
It was just, yeah. I mean, that throw, I'm still pissed, but that throw and catch was ridiculous. I mean, because seeing that
he
had a guy
hanging
on
his jersey,
too. Who
the hell could have made a play like that, right?
Only Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers, honestly, and don't for all of you fans out there, Brianna, I'm sorry. Joe, I'm sorry.
Please.
Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady.
Well, he's about
Cricket.
7 years younger. I mean.
Okay, but he's a better, I think, in his prime. Okay, so take Brady 7 years ago. Put them both in their prime. I think Aaron Rodgers.
I think Rodgers had more to work with than Brady did. I mean.
No, well, yes and no.
Oh,
I
think
mean,
so.
The talent wasn't always the same. The system isn't the same. I think Rodgers just has more versatility, more talent, can do more things than Tom Brady.
Well, it's because he's a different player. Brady's not built to run around. I can't believe I'm defending Brady. Oh, my God.
Nah, what
the hell
am I?
Why am I you know, the problem is, like, I really don't hate Tom Brady. I just don't. I don't know why, like, I just, maybe it's because my team has beaten Brady when it counts, so I'm not afraid of him like everybody else is, I guess. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it doesn't bother me as much. I don't know why. Should it? Like, I feel like, should we have this discussion?
No, I think we've had enough,
Yeah,
Tom Brady,
I don't care what he does. Like, you know, I don't care. Like, he's, you know, he's going to be missed in this league when he retires. I'll tell you that, because this league's going to be in the toilet when he goes. But I go on record. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think he's the best quarterback that ever played the game. And quite frankly, I don't think it's even close. If you look
Brady?
At
Brady, I just said Aaron Rodgers is better than Brady.
Yep. Yep. But see, the problem is here, I'm not going to get into this because you can't compare stats because that doesn't mean anything.
Peyton Manning.
Rings are overrated. You know, realistically.
Do you remember Dustin's argument on why Peyton Manning was better?
Yes, yes.
Did you agree with that or no?
I truthfully didn't really care. So
all right.
I listened to some of his points and they made sense.
A little bit,
but
yeah.
No, listen, the problem is what criteria are you going by? And nobody has a solid criteria to go by. It's always something different. So it's like, what the hell's the point of comparing it? There's never going to be a wrong or right answer. So I say the hell with it, right?
Sure. Why not?
And why do we have to compare them? Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't, because we need to, because we have nothing else to talk about. That's the problem.
True. Except for you heard about what's her name there, Giselle coming out saying Brady's always has headaches and is always sick and is always, remember that whole thing?
Yes.
She's talking about the concussions and
yeah.
So speaking of that and the concussion protocol that has made the league no fun anymore. And I'm just waiting for our Minnesota friend to call in, but I'm just waiting. It's coming. How about the new celebration rules?
Have you
heard about that?
Yeah. What did they change? Like, what the hell's the difference?
It's just you can get fined and flagged for
pretty
much anything now. I mean, if you don't just, you
know, what's different?
If you just don't pat yourself on the helmet and run over and hand the ball to the ref. Well, because over the top celebrations got flagged last year, like the Antonio Brown, you know, pelvic thrust and the whole thing. But, you know, now I'm thinking if you do anything, I mean, the Lambeau, they're saying the Lambeau leap might get flagged and fined. Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
It's the no fun league.
Right. Why is this such a big deal and why is this
not
a problem?
Shouldn't be.
I don't understand it. Don't we need individuals to have fun like this to market the league? Like, doesn't this make this good for the league? Like, what is – I don't understand what the problem
absolutely.
Is. I really don't. Like,
that's
what the hell is the
does.
Problem? I mean, is Goodell that freaking brain dead? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I just think he just wants the totalitarian power, it seems like.
Right.
I mean, he just wants what he wants,
and
he has the power to get what he wants.
Did you like it at the draft? He was booed on every pick. I thought that was brilliant.
Yes, and he couldn't talk. He couldn't talk in the beginning because they just would not shut up.
And he kept egging them on. Like, what the hell kind of commissioner does that?
Well, give me this. Okay, you could respect. You could respect. I know you're not a Cowboys fan, but you could respect history and players and good players throughout the years, right?
Of course.
Did you see what Drew Pearson did to the Eagles fan?
Yes, I thought that was great. I thought it was funny.
Wasn't that awesome? That was awesome.
I thought it was
And then one of the Giants guys did it too, I believe. But it wasn't it wasn't quite as much. Yeah.
I watched the first two rounds, and that's it for me.
I don't know if who it was. Yeah. But, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's Adobe.
See,
a woozy.
Right. Isn't that fun for the league? Like, don't you love stuff like that? I mean, if you can't even spike a football now after you score a touchdown, like, what's the point? Like, I'm floored by this.
How about the Dirty Bird?
Oh, I love that.
You remember the Dirty Bird?
Yes. When I was a kid, the Icky Shuffle was the big deal. Do you remember that? The kid played for the Bengals?
Yeah.
I mean, even that was so tame, though. Like, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I think the problem is, too, if you haven't noticed. Yeah, but I think it's a different breed of player now, if you haven't noticed, and, like, social media doesn't help, where you need to do things like this to get your ego going, to get yourself noticed. I think it has a lot to do with that, but I think that's just a cop-out, because who the hell cares? You know, you score a touchdown, I want to celebrate. Truthfully, sometimes – you might only score one your whole career, and how that's like an exciting moment for me. I would go crazy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if I had to think about it, yeah, I probably would. Yeah,
I hate these new rules.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it wouldn't be very fun. It doesn't sound very fun for sure. But now, do you agree with the overtime being cut down to 10 minutes?
I hate overtime. I think it's ridiculous. Let's just go with the tie. The hell with it.
So
I don't like
okay
the new.
So you would be okay with taking overtime out of regular season games?
Yeah. Look,
okay.
Listen, other than baseball, we have ties in sports. Hockey ties, you know, soccer ties sometimes before they do. Well, they don't do that. But I can live with it. I don't care. You don't win it. I mean, it might mean something in a new year if you're tied with a team. I mean, I get that, but I don't care. Do you? Do you really care if a game ends in a tie?
If it's my Cowboys, yes.
I guess if it's your team, yes, I guess. But I could care less if the Bengals and the Eagles tie a game. Like, I don't care. I mean, I think – I like, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I love the college football overtime, the way they play that, but that'll never work in the NFL because they would probably score in every possession. You've seen the college football overtime, right?
Oh, of course. I watch college football almost as much, if not more, than I watch the NFL, yeah.
Yeah,
their
overtime.
They get the ball on the 25-yard line.
Yeah.
If they score, the other team has a chance to score, and they just keep going back and forth after the second overtime. After the second overtime, they no longer have to kick extra points. They have to go for two.
I thought it was
the third
overtime. Was the second?
It's after the second, so it's starting at the third overtime,
Yeah. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. That'll never work in the NFL, for God's sake.
The game would never end.
Oh.
Game would never end, yeah. And
I think that would be interesting.
They would look like NBA scores by the time they got done with those.
Yeah, somebody would score 100 points for the first time in an NFL game. I swear to God.
It seemed like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
don't you think that would be fun?
Unless they were the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns would need it on, like, the 5-yard line in order to be, you know.
Oh, that's brutal.
That's brutal.
What a
I like to see them,
organization they are, huh?
Wouldn't it be cool in like just like a preseason game to just try that college thing and see what happened? I would love to see what that would be like.
Yeah,
you have like a you have like a 78-70 game. I would love that.
Oh my God! Well, we had a game at my school at college at Hartwick. We at the time, now I think it's since been broken, but we had set the Division III. I think
yeah.
it was actually the whole NCAA. I think it was the whole NCAA.
Right.
All-time scoring record. And,
really?
We had beat Utica in 5 overtimes, 77-74.
Wow.
In 5 overtimes. Yeah.
Nice.
And I think it's since been broken, but I'm not 100% on that. I gotta check, but. But yeah, 77-74 was and
wow.
I thought the game was never going to end. I really honestly thought it was never going to end.
Seriously, how long was that game? Like 5-6 hours?
It started. It was a 2:30 p.m. start time, and it was dark when they went off the field.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah. Of course, it was the fall, so it gets dark earlier.
Right.
But still, yeah, it was a 2:30 start time game, and they had to turn the lights on for I think 2 of the overtimes. So yeah, 2 or 3 of them. So yeah, it was long. It was a long game. So anyways, looking at this here, looking at the NFL coming up, we have a little bit of time left here on the show. Not a whole bunch, but a little bit of time left to go. Who do you feel? It is on the Giants. Who do you feel is going to be the breakout player this year? Like is anybody to watch? I mean, don't say Odell. We know Odell.
No.
Brandon Marshall, I think, is past his prime here.
Yeah.
Is it offense or is it defense? What sort of makes the Giants successful this season?
Well, the O-line has got to play. I mean, they need to have five guys.
Something.
Well, I truthfully, the hell with that. This team needs a running back, okay? Paul Perkins and
Perkins is good, right?
Yeah, but Perkins and Shane Vereen aren't going to rush for 1,200 yards and 20 touchdowns, okay?
No.
I actually thought they were going to go after LeGarrette Blount, but I'm surprised they didn't.
The Eagles. He's on the Eagles now.
Oh,
I
tell you, New England's
going to
regret that. By the way,
Well, I honestly think the Eagles, or not the Eagles. The Eagles. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be as good on that team. To be honest with you.
No.
But you know, honestly, I think Zeke is going to outrush both Perkins and Jennings.
Oh. Oh, it's not even close, dude. I'll give you that in a second. No,
yeah.
It's like, you know, a lot of things in that Packer game in the playoffs, it really exposed a lot of weaknesses. Now, truthfully, I thought the way the Giants were playing, even if they could score a couple points, the way the defense was playing, that they could beat Green Bay. And I was wrong. I really was. I thought the way they played the last month of the season, they looked like the best defense in the NFL. And Rodgers came out there and torched them. I mean, they were making no tackles. There was wide open receivers, which I hadn't seen since the week two.
Well, now Odell, those 4 drops in the first half, like that never happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I think a lot of people use that ridiculous boating outing was a distraction. I think that's just a BS excuse to me. I think it was ridiculous. There's no way that altered the game. Come on. I just don't buy that. I think a lot of it is Beckham needs to grow up a little bit and realize now he is the face of this franchise. It's not Eli Manning anymore. This kid is coming into his prime now. I think he's about 25 this year. He just got this ridiculous shoe contract. You know, so all the eyes are going to be on him, okay? And he can't throw his little temper tantrum and kicking footballs into the post and stuff like an idiot. So, yeah. And I never thought I'd say this, but bringing in Brandon Marshall to mentor him actually makes sense. Like, Marshall is not the same guy he was, okay? I remember when he first came up, you know, I think he got in trouble with beating, I think he beat up his girlfriend or something like that. You know,
I think
he's not the same player was. You know, he's a lot more mature now. I feel like Beckham will better serve to use him as a tutelage. He'll be a great tutor. I think he's going to help him a lot. He's also going to help him free him up, you know, when they go four wide receivers set. You know, I like where they're going, but the window is closing on Eli Manning. Like they took this kid Webb from Cal. I think it's supposed to be his
David
replacement.
Webb can
yeah,
sling it,
I see Webb
he
play
can,
college.
He can throw the rock.
Yeah. I mean Webb is he could throw the ball, but I mean I don't know how good he's going to be. Like I don't know what hell he's going to play. You know, I mean I think Manning realistically maybe has 3 years left, if that. I mean the guy's been very durable. As much as he drives me crazy, he hasn't missed a start. He's been in like every down, every snap of every game. You know, he still makes the dumbest mistakes, which irritate me. You know,
do you like the pick Ingram in the first round?
Well, I thought they were going to go after either O.J. Howard, which he actually fell farther than I thought he was going to, or I thought they were going to go after.
He was gone by the time they picked, though. But,
yeah. Oh, it was close though. Jesus, I thought he was going to. Yeah. I thought they'd go after a lineman like Ramsick or the kid from Utah, Bowles, but he was gone. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised. I thought Ingram was a second round pick, and quite frankly, I don't really think he's a tight end. I think he's a wide receiver, so he's going to have to like. You know, they're gonna line him up as a tight end. I mean, he's not gonna block. He's terrible.
I don't know if he's big enough. Yeah, I don't know if he's
no,
big enough.
No, exactly.
To block.
Right. So I was a little surprised by the pick. I mean, I've seen him play at Ole Miss. He's got great hands. He's got the intangibles. He's not much of a blocker, but you know, from what I've heard in camp so far, they said the kid's a home run right now. He's doing all the right things. He hasn't dropped the ball in practice yet. So. I mean,
yeah, well, they're always going to say that, though. But.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, that's why I love to be in camp.
He came in, he showed up late, he was drunk, though. We regret ever drafting him. No, they're not going to ever say that. Even if it's true, they're not going to say that. But
no, but I've heard things like on blogs and stuff
that people actually
behind the scenes.
It's true. Yeah, yeah.
I just want them to put it together. They haven't had like a legitimate, seriously, running back. Since Tiki Barber left,
true.
And I hated Tiki Barber. I couldn't stand him. I thought he was a selfish, and I still to this day, if I ever saw him in the street, I'd spit on him. But they tried to address that. They drafted that Wilson kid, but he ended up getting like a spinal cord injury, whatever the hell he had, and he couldn't play after that. I thought he was going to be okay. And they've tried all these, you know, Rashad Jennings came in there. He wasn't very good, if you ask me. He was better on Dancing with the Stars.
I missed that. Who's the guy you'd spit on?
Tiki Barber.
Oh, Tiki. Why? Tiki's the man. He's so nice.
He's not. Listen,
guy.
I'm sorry. The guy cheated on his wife. I don't like that stuff. All right? I have problems with that.
Wait a minute.
He fumbled too damn much, and he always criticized players in the media without talking to them behind the scenes. I don't have any respect for that crap. I'm sorry. I don't like him. Plus, I think they actually end up being a better team after he left. It's like the A-Rod
thing.
I
would invite Tiki over to dinner and have a nice conversation. He seems like a nice guy.
You can have him.
What about Rondé? What about Rondé Barber?
Oh, I liked him. He was pretty good.
Yeah, Rondé was okay.
Yeah, I like him better.
Round two. Hankins is gone, I believe. No, not Hankins. Who's the big dude in the middle who you guys lost? It wasn't Hankins, was it? It wasn't Snacks. So
yeah.
He
went to the Colts.
Snacks? Snacks is gone.
Harrison's still there.
Yeah, it was Hankins is gone. Yeah, Jonathan
Hankins
is gone.
He went to the Colts, I believe.
Indianapolis? Well, I got to check that out. But either way, Delvin Tomlinson is your second pick.
Yes.
Do you like this kid out of Alabama?
I've seen him play. Like, I don't know if he's – is he a run stuffer? Like, I mean
– Yeah, he's a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
This dude is gigantic.
Oh, he's
going to
plug a hole. I like him, but
he's gonna plug more than that. Oh my god!
Yeah, you got that right. No, I like where they're going. Like, I mean, you know, I truthfully thought they gave Pierre Paul way too much damn money to bring him back. But
oh well, yeah, the finger. You mean the claw, the mandible claw?
That's a good joke.
Well,
I like that one.
It is.
That's a good one.
Well, then they got Davis Webb. They got Davis Webb in the third round, who could straight up swing it, and I think he. he can I think he can be the successor for Manning. I watched this kid throw. There's not a throw he can't make, and he has a laser for an arm. So
I agree with you.
He's going to be kind of scary.
I'm just curious to what kind of offense they're going to use for him. Like what kind of offense they're going to use for him.
Now, here's your running back. Wayne Gallman, running back from Clemson in the fourth round. They're saying it was solid value, nothing spectacular, but he fills a need, and he has a chance to contribute this year. Now, last year at Clemson, who, by the way, won the national championship.
He was pretty decent.
He had 1,500 yards last year with 13 touchdowns, and he had that was the year before. And then this past year, he had 1,100 plus yards with 17 touchdowns.
Oh,
he's
I agree.
A touchdown machine.
You know
who
he reminds me of? He's a poor man's Warwick Dunn. Don't you think so?
That's actually a very good analogy. Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day, and then I actually like him more than Warwick Dunn, but I just don't know. I don't know if they're gonna give him a shot. I mean, I think they're going to give Perkins, Vereen will be the third down back, but I'd like to see in camp if he's got something, play him for Christ's sake. Anything
Paul
is better.
Perkins. Yeah. Then you look at fifth round, Avery Moss, edge from Youngstown State. I mean, 6'3", 265, he ran a 4.79.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's got 34.5-inch arms.
Yeah.
He's got big hands, 10 3/8 hands. He has two full hands, which is good.
Yeah.
He should be good. I mean, this guy now, but here's the weird thing about this guy, okay? He's a talented player, but he's got a little bit of a checkered past.
Yes, I heard.
As we all do.
Yeah.
He was accused of indecent exposure.
Not unbelievable. Not unbelievable.
So what did he did he expose what exactly was that? Did he whip his you-know-what out in public, or what was that?
I haven't been able to find what exactly he did, but it had to have been something like that. Maybe he flashed students.
He was kicked off the Nebraska team and not welcomed back. I mean, he must have been something serious.
Well, I haven't been able to find anything. I've been curious myself, like, what the hell you could do. Unless he moon the dean's daughter. Like, I can't imagine what she would have gotten.
Be awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be hilarious. But
I'd be totally down for that. And then in the sixth round, you got your offensive lineman Adam Bisnanwadi.
Yeah, I can't even pronounce his name. Yeah, I've seen him play.
And
he's not horrible,
right.
But
no, he's 6'6". 6'6", 320. I mean, big guy. Big arms, big hands, huge hands, 11 and 2.
Yo, he's got huge hands.
He's a big guy. And I think he has a chance to maybe come in and contribute early on for the Giants.
Well, they also signed that Fluger kid to come in like a backup lineman.
DJ Fluger from the Chargers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember what team he played for.
Yeah.
So
he's from Alabama in college.
Yeah,
I think he was on the Chargers.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was him. So he might play, but who knows? Who knows?
Well, looking at Dallas then, okay? Looking at Dallas, and we'll go into every team in the East because that's a division that we go to. And by the way, I really, really, really liked what Washington and Philly did in the first round.
Yes,
Derek Barnett,
absolutely.
Derek Barnett is going to be huge for the Eagles.
Oh,
monster! And I really, that guy is an absolute animal. He beat Reggie White's sack record at Tennessee. Okay, and then
that
and
was
then
like
got,
the quietest best pick of the first round. Like,
oh hell yeah!
Nobody
hell
talked
yeah,
to him. Like he's going to be a freaking star, dude.
And then you've got that freaking guy from Alabama there, Jonathan Allen, fell all the way to Washington.
Oh, I'm stunned! I'm stunned he fell that far.
And you know, it was one of those things where it kind of makes you feel like the draft is rigged a little bit because, I mean,
the kid's from
D.C., and he goes to D.C., but he's supposed to be a top 5 pick. I mean, come on. Okay? You know?
Yeah.
So it's just I don't know how those things work out the way that they do to get on the hometown team kind of a thing. But anyway, Dallas in the first round takes Taco Charlton. Now, I like this pick. I like Taco.
Not surprised.
And the reason I like Taco is, I mean, think about it. We had our team last year, okay, was led by Benson Mayowa in sacks. And he
really?
Had six.
Yikes.
Six. Okay. In 2015, DeMarcus Lawrence led the team in sacks with eight. Okay. Charlton had 9.5 sacks at Michigan alone last year.
Right.
Okay, so the kid's got a motor. He's big. He's, I think, what did they say, 6'6", 3", I believe he's like 3-something, 360, something like that. Big,
yes.
Well, no, not 360. But like,
no, he's
360,
not that big.
Excuse me, 290 is what he is. 6'6", 290. Big kid, physical, you know, he uses his arms, got great legs. And, you know, we needed an edge rusher. I mean, because Randy Gregory's
right.
not coming back. I think I've
right.
already written Randy Gregory off. Okay, so Gregory's done. So, I mean, we needed another guy on the edge to sort of help out DeMarcus Lawrence over there. And that's what I think is what they not wanted to do. Because think about it. Everyone talks about how bad the Dallas secondary is and how bad, you know, they can't cover their own pillow and blah, 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 and all the different things they want to say about the Dallas secondary. But when you think about it, it's the pass rush. We
yes.
couldn't get a pass rush last year, and our secondary was exposed. Quarterbacks had 3, 4, 5 seconds to throw the football.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why we couldn't stop anybody. So if we can get pass rush in, we brought that guy over from the Eagles, and, you know, I hate the fact that I can never, ever remember his name, and he plays for my own team. But the reason for it is because I've hated him for so long because he played for the Eagles. Hold on a second. Cowboys defensive tackle. There it is.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you do. You know who it is. You'll know who it is if I say the name.
Oh.
Let me grab it here. Cedric Thornton. Okay.
Oh, Cedric. Okay.
Yeah. Cedric Thornton.
Yes.
I've hated him for so long because he played for the Eagles that I always forget his name. But,
I'm sorry.
True. And then we just got Stephen P. too.
Mm-hmm.
His name's P-E-A-E-A or something like that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
A big defensive tackle. So we got him. Okay, so I think our defense on the front side is going to be good. Sean Lee's coming back. So they're all saying that this Jalen Smith kid's going to play finally.
Yes.
So, you know.
That was
I'm
a sleeper pick,
that.
By the way.
Oh, hell yeah. No, he's going to be good. So you got all that. Then, second round. The kid that I wanted, you know, I was quietly scouting him the whole time. I was like, please, please, please take him. If you don't – I wanted him to take O.B. Melifonwu from Connecticut, but
– Yes.
They didn't, but
– No.
I'm very, very okay. Well, actually, they didn't because he was gone by the time they picked. But, I mean,
true.
I was okay with Shadobi Awuzie.
God bless you.
And – yeah, I know, right? Because this kid – this kid is probably the best blitzing corner in the draft. He's physical. He'll hit you. You know, he can be running the nickel packages. He can be running
right.
in all sorts of stuff. So, and
yeah.
Dallas has a marketing scheme for the ages right now. They have Taco and Cheeto. Because this kid goes
by Cheeto.
That's
unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Taco
I love
and
it.
Cheeto. I mean, right?
I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say?
I said, talk about product placement, right?
Oh, I love it.
Now, it wouldn't be the Dallas Cowboys if they didn't take somebody with a checkered past. Jordan Lewis. You know what Lewis is accused of, right?
I think – I'm not 100% sure. I think I heard something about it.
He was a domestic abuse.
Yes,
that's
right.
Allegation.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was his girlfriend.
You're breaking up.
Similar thing to, I know. Sorry.
Okay.
It was a similar thing to what Mixon did, I believe.
Oh, Jesus.
I believe it was similar to that.
I hope it wasn't that bad. Oh, God.
I don't think it was quite that bad, but I think it was similar to what Mixon did.
That's terrifying.
Jordan Lewis. Let's see what it says here. Cowboys believe his flexibility. They're not even mentioning it. Then Ryan Switzer, fourth round pick, wide receiver out of North Carolina. He was Mitch Trubisky's number one target.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
He's a lot like a Cole Beasley.
Yes.
Good
analogy.
This kid also reminds me of like the Wes Welker, young Wes Welker too.
He ain't that good.
Well, not yet, but I like the pick. Then Xavier Woods, if you're a WWE fan, you get a giggle out of this one.
That's funny.
When they picked that, I was like, Cal, boys rock. Cal, boys rock. Anyway, so.
Oh, Jesus.
This is the new day. For those of you who are WWE fans, you'll get the reference.
Yeah,
Xavier Woods, he's going to be a depth guy, a role player. Marquez White, corner, depth guy, role player. Joey Ivey, defensive tackle, depth guy, role player. Noah Brown. Now, Noah Brown is different. Noah Brown's a big wide receiver from Ohio State. One of the top guys at Ohio State, Jordan Carroll, the defensive tackle from Colorado. But if you get a chance, go on and look at Noah Brown. They weren't going to take another wide receiver because they really didn't need another wide receiver.
Well, what did they take him for then?
Well, they had Zeke. Zeke was in their ear saying, hey, get Noah Brown. Brown is going to help you out because look at the receiving core.
It's not that great.
Well, I know I'm biased because I'm a Cowboys fan, but, I mean, you got Dez, and when Dez is healthy or when he's mentally checked in, Dez is amazing. But the thing is,
right. Sometimes
he gets taken out of games mentally.
Yes, he does.
And he gets hurt a lot, okay? So Dez is Dez. Then you got Terrence Williams, who's hit or miss. Terrence Williams is he catches with his chest. He doesn't catch with his hands, and he makes some good catches here and there, but he's not a superstar wide receiver.
Yeah, not enough.
I would go as far as to say, honestly, from a consistency standpoint, Cole Beasley's our best wide receiver.
You're right. Not denying that.
Which is scary, by the way. So you've got that. And then we have Bryce Butler, who I'm still not sold on.
Who the hell is that?
Well, he was the one who made that stupid. It was an idiotic penalty to begin with against Green Bay. The huddle, the leaving penalty that they got.
Gotcha.
But he was the one who did that. But again, it's a stupid penalty to begin with. But he was the one who was charged with that. I think this Noah Brown kid has a chance to start on the other side across from Dez this year. If you get a chance, I'll send you when we get off air. I'll send you his highlight clips. Kid's a monster.
Can't wait.
And he was a seventh round guy. So that's that. I think Dallas got better. Giants got better. Redskins got better. Eagles got better. Every team got better. But the problem is Dallas and New York were just so far ahead of the other two teams that the fact that when they got better, I don't think they got good enough to catch them yet. I think it comes down still comes down to Cowboys, Giants.
I agree.
I really do. So now, we only got a couple minutes left here on the show, so we'll talk a little bit about your favorite topic. What about your Red Sox, huh?
We don't have enough time to talk about this.
Whoa, why not? We have plenty of time. I can add more time if I need to. What's going on?
Quite frankly, I'm completely disappointed and disgusted.
Didn't you say that it was over? They got Chris Sale, they're going to win that division?
Well, if you haven't noticed, Chris Sale is playing at an astronomical level, but they can't score any goddamn runs for him.
Didn't you say that the Yankees were going to finish fourth in the East?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
hold on a second. By the way, it's still early. If we're going to do this crap, it's May. And the Yankees are only the Red Sox are only three games behind the Yankees. Okay? And Tanaka can't pitch anymore.
Are we still going to that game in August? Are we still going to that game in August?
What are you kidding?
I wasn't sure if you had forgotten.
Are you crazy? I'm not going to forget. No. My team's got so many freaking holes, dude. They had a lot of injuries, which I didn't see coming, and they should never traded Travis Shaw. Was a terrible idea because they got this. They actually thought that Pablo Sandoval was gonna be the answer again. They've had like seven third. They had like the worst third basemans in baseball. They've tried Brock Holt.
That's true.
Devin Marrero.
Hold on. Are you telling me you didn't like Brock Holt?
No, I like Brock Holt, but he's not a third baseman.
Oh.
He's a damn utility player. He's not good at any position.
True.
Well,
true.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's been two bright spots to me. Chris Sale's pitched on a ridiculous level, and Craig Kimbrell is unbelievable this year so far. Other than that, it's like, I mean, you know, I'm so sick of hearing about.
Actually, I'm looking at this. Is Sale's ERA even over one?
I think it's like
Let me look this up real quick.
But like, I'm
I'll
so sick of
you
this David. Yeah, I'm so sick of this David Ortiz hangover crap. Well, what the dude? He wasn't gonna be there forever. I'm so tired of listening to this crap. He's not coming out of retirement. He can't even walk. So it's time to move on. This team has no leadership as a problem. I thought Pedroia was going to do something. He hasn't done anything. You know, there's no leaders. They're all too quiet. It's like, you know, and you got a bunch of kids now. You know, you got – I like where the outfield's going. I like – I mean, I wish Bradley could learn how to hit lefties. But, you know, I think they're going to get better. Well, I'm waiting for –
is this Chris Sale's 5-2 with a 2.34 ERA?
I thought his ERA was lower than that, but I don't know if that's right.
Is he 5-2?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know he lost two games. Okay. Oh, no,
yeah.
It is. Oh.
He's lost games he should have won.
Here it is. Chris Sale has a 1.19 ERA and 52 strikeouts in 5 starts, but not much to show for it. But then his ERA went up by 1 earned run the last 2 games.
He gave up like 4 runs.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That's still ridiculous, though.
No. He had every game, he looked like he was going to strike out 10 guys every game. But he's unbelievable. But after that, it's like Porcello came back to life this year because I didn't think he was that great anyway. He's already lost more games than he lost last year. And you got Rodriguez has played okay. Pomeranz can't stay healthy. Ugh.
No, that's true. Well, let me ask you this because I know you got to go. Okay.
Yeah.
In the AL. In the AL.
Yeah.
I know your philosophy behind this whole thing is that it's still early. It's only May. But is anybody beating the Houston Astros in the AL this year?
Not from what I've seen. I'm not sold on a team until it gets to be about June or July. If they're like 10 games ahead, you can see there's a clear-cut favorite. I'm not sure how good they really are. Like, I mean, Dallas Keuchel's come back, and McCullers look pretty good. But it's like, you know, I can't judge these teams yet. I feel like it's too early. When it gets to be like maybe before the All-Star break, then you can see the teams separate themselves. Like, you really think the Twins are going to stay in first place all year? I don't see that happening.
No.
You know,
what happened to the Royals, too? They fell.
The talent level drop. They had their window.
And
they're done.
And the Giants. The Giants are in last place. That's weird, too. The
I'm surprised.
Guys, of course. It's really weird. Colorado Rockies are in first? Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, so
it's weird.
The next show we do, we'll get into more baseball talk. We know Jeremy loves baseball.
I don't want to talk
baseball
about
season.
It.
For those of you who missed it, the double overtime, the Penguins are now in the Stanley Cup game against Nashville. That's going to be interesting. It was a hell of a game last night. I watched that. That was a great game. I don't watch a lot of hockey, but I do watch playoff hockey, and that was a hell of a game. So we will talk to you. I don't know. What are you available? Monday, Tuesday?
Yes.
What are you looking at?
I'm off Monday. If you want to do a Monday.
You're off Monday. Beautiful. I'm going to have my brand new microphone on Monday, so I'll
I hope
clear
so.
As a, clear as – I'm trying to think of I was going to say
forget
it's like George, but you don't know the reference because you're not you're
funny
you're like George, so
I don't care.
But anyway, clear is something. Right? I'll be crystal clear. So we'll see you on Monday, Bench Warmers Radio.
New world.